Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. I'll especially be looking at some things in verse 17. We have this second sermon just touching on some things about church government. Hebrews chapter 13, let's read the entire chapter to get the full context. Please give heed now to God's word. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the word that we've read and now the word preached. We come to a second sermon now on church government. If you paid attention last week or listened to it over the internet, why, you saw that we were showing the graduated courts of the church are not merely a Presbyterian idea. They are the scripture pattern. We saw that there is no room in the scripture for any office above that of elder, except for apostle, but the apostolate, of course, has ended. You can look at the qualifications for an apostle in Acts chapter 1. The only exception I know of is the apostle Paul, who was called exceptionally. Secondly, we also saw that there was no room for independency, that there are no such things as independent churches. And interestingly, at least I kind of mentioned it in passing, when we have mentioned in Scripture the Church of Jerusalem, and then the Church of Antioch, and later on the Church of Corinth, and the Church of Ephesus, and the Church of Galatia, and the Church of Rome, that in reality, each of these churches is composed of many congregations who are united together in this geographical area in what we call a presbytery. And when the presbytery of Antioch could not figure out what to do in a certain question, that question being, are the Gentile converts obliged to hold to Jewish ceremonial law? They appealed to a higher court. Now, at that time, there were only two presbyteries, Antioch and Jerusalem. And so both met together, as we saw in Acts 15, in a sort of what we would call synod or general assembly or general council, ecumenical council, whatever it is you want to call it. That's how they met together, with binding resolutions. Well, all this is at a level above the congregation. Let's delve into the congregation now. And there are a couple of things we need to see overall. And that is what we have here in the book of Hebrews. Here in chapter 13, verse 17. That is that there are multiple elders within a congregation, not merely one. Secondly, they bear rule, which is to be obeyed. They are authority figures. They are not equal or on a par, and they are certainly not those who are, quote, representatives of the people. They are covenant heads of the congregation. Now let's look at these. First of all, we see here in Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. This is in the imperative, and most of you will remember from grammar lessons in high school, well, maybe junior high and grade school, that the imperative means a command. And this certainly is a command here. The word here for obey is exactly the same word that Paul uses in in the Ephesians letter when he's speaking to children, to obey their parents. When he speaks to wives, obey your husbands. When he speaks to slaves, obey your masters. The exact same word. Now, of course, as in all relationships, this obedience is in the Lord. It is not implicit. No, by no means. There is to be implicit, that is, without questioning, obedience to the Word of God. But obedience to the elders is always in the Lord. As a matter of fact, friends, we see from time to time in Scripture where the Word has preeminence over everything. Even Peter himself was rebuked from the Word by Paul. And even Paul himself was checked out by the Word. People didn't take it for granted. They checked him out by the Word. Now, does this mean that elders really have no authority? No, by no means. You are, of course, to obey them, for it is directly said here. Where do they ultimately get their call? Some might think, well, they're only there because we put them there. And you will recall that the people picked out deacons. They chose out deacons. They chose out at least the candidates who were to be finally settled by lot from or for the apostolate in Acts chapter 1. And there seems to be some indication from the Greek word that is used there that it was done by a hand vote. The people choose, but that does not mean that the call upon an elder or upon a deacon is a call ultimately from the people. A time will come, and I'm praying that it's soon, that you will be electing a deacon or deacons, that you will be electing an elder or elders in our congregation. When you do so, you are not calling them ultimately. What you are doing is recognizing God's call upon them. Conversely, the man cannot begin his ministry and take it upon himself to do so, merely thinking, well, I feel God's call, so I must start doing it. No, that call is ratified in the providence of God through the calling of the people. But you must recognize that ultimately the call of any church officer, elder or deacon, is made by God. And this must be recognized and submitted to. God chooses these men ultimately for the task of serving you, of helping you, of sacrificing themselves for you, as we shall see in a few moments, of leading you as individuals, Christian individuals, and as a congregation. And leading you into what? Why, leading you to glorify God in Jesus Christ as you labor in this world for His glory. So the first call is here to obey. Now, this militates against any notion that ultimately it is the congregation that is in charge of things. Ultimately, it is the congregation. No, it is not. Ultimately, it is the elders of the congregation who are to be obeyed. In some churches, sadly, this is turned all around. The elders may vote for something, and somebody doesn't like it, and so they call a congregational meeting, someone does, and the elders' ideas are totally overturned. And somehow this is thought to be the way to go. Well, it's very American. It fits right in with Americanism, but it does not fit in with the Scripture. So does this mean that you have no say? By no means. By no means. Faithful elders, godly elders, will be listening to the congregation. They know that all the church members are true church members, so to speak. Those who are truly believers, of course, we don't know who those are altogether. But normally, that's all of you. All of you. All of you are given some measure of wisdom by the Holy Spirit. All of you are moved by Him to be seeking His glory as individuals and as a congregation. All of you want this congregation to be blessed and to be a blessing. So we listen to you, and from you we get good ideas. From you, the elders discover that maybe what they were doing wasn't such a hot idea. Ultimately, the decision is the elders, but congregation has much say in advising and helping the elders to be helping the congregation. It's just like in a good marriage. What fool man is not going to listen to the woman God has given him in providence? What fool man is going to listen, is going to ignore, I should say, not listen to. What fool man is going to ignore the godly wisdom in his wife who has pledged herself to help him? What foolish man is going to ignore the very helper that God has put there for him? A godly man isn't going to do that. He's going to listen. He may from time to time overrule her advice or decide for a good reason not to go with it. But often he will find that her ideas and her perspectives inform his and help him to make a wise decision. Now then, while there is obedience demanded, at the same time there is responsibility for the elders. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Why? For, or because, they watch over your souls as those who must give account. This is a big deal. And this is why a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ, well, he's in a place that a lot of people should not be aspiring to. He is in a place that no one certainly should aspire to lightly. Look at the responsibility. They watch over you. Now, one of the names for elders is overseer. That's a direct translation of the Greek word episkopos, from where we get the word bishop. And so the elders are bishops. An episkopos is an overseer. They watch over you, just like shepherds. Well, that's interesting. Sometimes pastors are called that. In fact, the word pastor is the Latin translation of the Greek word for shepherd. The pastors, and really all elders are pastors, they are shepherds of you, the sheep of God. Not shepherds in and of themselves. They do not own the flock. They are under shepherds appointed by the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are like good shepherds. Margaret can remember, Jaseel can remember in January and early February, lambing time. And it's not something where you just do it from 9 in the morning to 5 in the evening and then you have some leisure time and good night of sleep and all that sort of thing. No, you have to be up. And you are frequently having to get up several times a night to check on which ewes are about to bear. And to help them. And you have to learn several different ways to help the lambs get born when the ewes are having trouble. How is the lamb presenting? Do we have a head? Do we have hooves? Are they front or back ones? One or two? Or do we have a rear end coming out? Just what is the deal? And how do you extract them? Well, there are different ways and you have to learn. Shepherds have to stay awake all night, forsaking sleep, forsaking their own needs, in order to protect the flock, in order to care for it, to bring forth the lambs, and sometimes to protect against predators. That leads me into the next thing. This is what they must be doing as well, protect from predators. I've known several shepherds. And in this day and age, what do? Well, they keep a rifle handy to pot feral dogs and coyotes. Thankfully, we don't have wolves these days. We don't have mountain lions around here yet. We don't have bears around here yet. But we do have feral dogs. We do have coyotes. They've got to be popped. A lot of people who have flocks will keep around guard animals as well. They may have, besides a shepherding dog, they may have a guard dog. Or they may keep a llama or two, or a donkey or something like that around. But they themselves, the owners of the flock, and any shepherds that they hire, protect from predators. As well, they keep the flock together. Now, a lot of people think of sheep as constantly being together and doing what the others do. And there are some breeds that do have this flocking instinct more than others. There are some, though, that are pretty independent. it is more work to keep some breeds together than it is with others. Just as it is with some Christians and some congregations that take on a particular personality. But however they are, not only must the leaders protect them from predators, they must keep the flock of Jesus Christ together. They must gather in the straying. And Jesus, of course, used this as a parable of a sheep that went off, took off by itself. And he had to leave aside the rest who were doing all right by themselves and could do so all right for a while. And the shepherd sought the sheep. He must nourish them and get them in good condition. These are things which a shepherd must do with ovine sheep, but it is the way that the leaders must do with the human sheep as well. They watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. All these activities of the godly shepherds, the leaders of the people in the Church of Jesus Christ, all this work is tough if the stock are willful. And lastly, as we look at the leaders' care, the leaders have a heavy responsibility, not merely for you, but to God. And this is the scary part about the job. Larry and I have to answer for all you people. There will be a time when we shall be asked, how did you use the gifts and abilities I gave you to shepherd these people? And what did you do with this one when they were being stupid over here? And how did you encourage this one when she was looking to exercise her gifts? And why did you let this one be lonesome? Why did you not show the love of Christ to them? Why did you not build them up and leave them almost starving? Leave her almost starving. And so forth and so on. When Larry and I think of our weakness and are at times complete, well, I shouldn't say complete. God in His grace preserves you and us from this. But our somewhat irresponsibility at times. For we are not perfected yet. We are not sanctified entirely yet. And we make mistakes and sometimes real doozies with you people and with ourselves. We weep over our sins internally and our sins in dealing with you. It is a scary thing in a way. Well, when we admonish you when you're in the wrong way, or when we urge you on when you're in the right way but not really going fast enough, or when you are corrected, don't resist us, please. Don't say, this is none of your business. Yeah, well, that too. Don't say, this isn't any of your business. Don't be saying, now you're meddling, preacher. The Word tells you this is Larry's business. Your life is his business, and it is my business. Now, there's one further thing I'd like us to see overall, and that is, if we're doing our job faithfully, if God gives us the grace to do so, and we are being a blessing to you, and you are receiving this properly with a submissive spirit and an obedient heart, what does it lead to? It leads to joy. Again, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Joy is not only the hope here in our congregation or in any congregation for the elders. It is your hope as well. And it is not merely our wish. It is God's intent to give you joy through your elders, through your deacons. As all of us here and all in any other particular congregation grow together, the heart desire of all to be showing Jesus Christ, to be indeed a flock of His care, that grows more and more. God implants that desire, and God brings about that which is desired. Let it not be that you will be, that we will be, a willful flock. Because believe me, it is discouraging. It's burdensome. And do you know what the word burdensome means, children? Okay, I see a few of you younger ones shaking your head no. It's like something very, very, very heavy. That it is hard to pick up or drag along. Maybe you can get it done, but it's hard, hard, discouraging work. Just yesterday, children, on the Boy Scout camp out, we had gotten three, I guess we could call them coils, of very thick, strong rope. About an inch across of manila rope. It is so big that it, I'm thinking, has been used for something like holding on big, big boats to a pier. Well, because each of these coils has about 120 feet, approximately, of this very thick, strong rope, they are heavy. Now, I think if you children, several of you younger children, were to leave it on the ground and pick up a loop and start dragging it, you could move it for a while, but it would be very hard work and you would be so tired when you were done. I think you little children, I'm quite confident of this, would not have been able to pick it up and then put it on your shoulder and climb the hill from our campsite up to the road. That would be too hard for you. This is how the work of the elders is portrayed when a flock is being willful and refusing to take their help. It becomes very, very difficult, and the elders do not end up being helpful to them. In fact, it's a very discouraging job for them. However, when we listen and heed, when we obey and submit, not ultimately to the leaders, ultimately to the Word of God that they teach, it is then, friends, that their job becomes a joy. And let me tell you, it is a joy when we see people growing in grace, growing in knowledge, growing in their relationship with one another and with Jesus Christ. Friends, I could tell you moments of joy. I can tell you what a delight it is to have someone tell me, I've come to Jesus. What a joy to be preaching, this was in another congregation several years ago, at the end of the sermon, as I said the last word of the benediction, a woman in the third row jumped up and said, I see it now. I see it now. And she had believed on Jesus. She'd been taught. She was in her late 40s. She had been taught all this, but suddenly the Spirit grabbed hold of her through my words. To see good things happening like this, to see divisions mended and hearts that were once for a while estranged knit back together, that's a wonderful encouragement. May it be, friends, that we shall be all encouraged together. More and more. As we elders within the congregation seek to labor for you, yes, even at the sacrifice of whatever, for the ultimate goal of seeing you growing in Jesus Christ for Christ's pleasure and for you as you grow together more and more in Him. Obey your leaders. This is the command that God has given. This is the command that Jesus has given as He is building His church. Within the congregation, as God blesses us with elders, with authority, it is so that you will, with joy, hear the words of Jesus at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen.